Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Hey listeners, Jessica here. Be sure to check out new episodes of Undetermined every Tuesday for free wherever you get your podcasts. For early and ad-free listening, check out Tenderfoot Plus on Apple Podcasts. The views and opinions expressed in this podcast are solely those of the individuals interviewed and participating in the show and do not represent those of Tenderfoot TV and Resonate Recordings. All individuals described or mentioned in the podcast should be considered innocent until found guilty in a court of law. This podcast contains subject matter such as violence and graphic descriptions, which may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
It felt like there was no real investigation at all. Regardless of any and all information that Audra and Mandy have shared with them, it just went nowhere. I feel like most detectives in that situation would use a lot less to do more. Even reading the autopsy report, it kind of paints its own picture. It really does. I'll put it this way. If it seemed like some sort of foul play to three amateurs, I can only imagine how it would look to someone who does this every single day.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout, 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
My team and I have been actively investigating Jessica's case for over 2 years now. In all of my conversations with Jessica's family, something they've made abundantly clear is their lack of faith in the NOPD. Their biggest fear in all of this isn't that answers surrounding Jessica's death can't be found, it's that the NOPD won't put in the work to find them. They've had a strong feeling that this case has been headed nowhere for some time now. But despite the family's frustration with what they feel is a stalled NOPD investigation, we've still learned a lot thus far. We've heard the body cam footage of police talking with Justin the day Jessica went missing. We've shared loads of text messages and correspondence between Justin and those close to Jessica. We've gone over all the reports we've obtained from the NOPD, the coroner's office, and the family, discovering that a toxicology screening found meth in Jessica's system and that an autopsy report indicated both pre- and post-mortem injuries to her body. Then, in February 2021, the coroner released the following statement regarding Jessica's death.
Advanced changes of decomposition can make determination of cause and manner of death difficult, as it did in this case. Due to this decomposition, toxicology testing was limited to liver tissue, which did test positive for methamphetamine and bupropion. However, it is unclear these results reflect recent intake, and a drug-related death cannot be ruled out.
The coroner, of course, listed Jessica's cause and manner of death as undetermined. Her husband, Justin, believes she died by suicide, and we have a good idea where her family and friends stand. Like I said, we've learned a lot up to this point, but there are still some key elements we don't know. Where does the case currently stand? Who's investigating it? And where does the investigation go from here? When re-examining a case like Jessica's, requesting access to the case file is one of the first steps in the investigative process, and we've put in our fair share of requests. But the NOPD only granted us access to the initial missing persons report and the report filed when she was found. All other items in the case file were denied, citing that it was an open case. Quote, "They relate to pending or reasonable anticipated criminal litigation." If we're going to obtain any more case-related information as to why Jessica's case has stalled, it won't be from the files. We'll have to start asking around in New Orleans. Back in May 2021, Todd and I decided to start at the best place we could think of, the New Orleans Coroner's Office, also known as the Orleans Parish Coroner, to see what information we could get from them. This is the same coroner's office who performed Jessica's autopsy. We're hoping to find out more answers about what they learned and gain a better understanding of where a case like Jessica goes once the coroner's process is complete. We park in the visitor lot of a large tan brick building positioned beside a busy road. As traffic steadily passes by, we make our way up to an entrance with double glass doors. The doors are locked, but there's an intercom call box to my right. I push the button. No answer. I try a few more times. Nothing. We call an after-hours number listed on the door, and a woman answers.
Hi, is your office open?
What was the reason for your visit?
We're here to inquire about a past case.
What's the name?
Jessica Durning. D-U-R-N-I-N-G.
All right. Hold on just a moment.
We're actually out front. We didn't know like if we could come in to speak with someone or not.
I would have to find out who was on duty and if they are present. The on-duty investigator just took a scene call, so they're not there.
We're actually just trying to see if the coroner's office and the investigator is still looking at it or if it's been kind of closed with the coroner's office and moved on to the police department.
Yes. Once the autopsy has, the report has been completed, the coroner's office is complete with their investigation. We only handle the remains, so it would be on to the police at this time.
Okay, perfect.
Is there a way to see if it was turned over to the homicide unit or district detectives?
That would be a question for the police department.
Is there an investigator on duty that can just explain that process to us, just so that we have it recorded as this is how it happens and this is how it goes?
What actually happens is, once the case is closed and if there is an officer that's handling that case who reported the death, they would most times check back with the coroner's office to see when that autopsy report is available for request. It will come in to collect it, and then they themselves would move forward with either going further into investigating it or closing the case on their end.
Okay.
So those would be questions for the police department.
Okay, so at this point, the coroner's duties with it are completely over.
Correct. Yes, ma'am.
All right.
And if a case is left, like, cause of death undetermined, and then the police get new information they think would change that, do they then come back to your office through an investigator or directly to an ME?
To the ME. Yep, it would be to the pathologist or probably the chief pathologist. But yes, most times it is with the pathologist that performed that autopsy.
Okay.
All right, thank you so much. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thanks.
No problem.
Bye-bye.
While we didn't get all of our questions answered, it's a start. We now know officially that the coroner's office is no longer investigating Jessica's case, at least until the police give them more information or evidence to work with. So, on that note, we headed over to the NOPD's District 3 to see what they could tell us about their investigation. Parking in the back of the large police campus, we walk over to the side visitor's door. While dodging the rain, we press the button for the intercom.
Abby, okay, thank you.
We're standing under a metal awning that's shielding us from the persistent raindrops. After a brief wait, a towering man in uniform pushes through the double doors and greets us. This is our conversation with Lieutenant Ernest Lester, who heads up the NOPD's 3rd District Investigative Division, or DIU. This audio is from body cam footage we received via public records request.
Hello, ma'am. Hi. I'm Lieutenant Lester, New Orleans Police. How are you doing?
Good. How are you?
Dr. Thomas. All right. How can we help you?
Okay, so my name is Jessica Knoll, and he is a retired detective. I am an investigative journalist. We're working on a story about a case, Jessica Easterly Durning.
Okay.
And we were told that you might be the head of the unit that is looking at that.
Okay.
What we're interested in is, we're not familiar with New Orleans Investigations Police Department. We want to kind of show how it goes from the scene of where her body was found to the coroner to the police, and where that goes
that
as far as investigations.
Works.
Yeah, the process and procedure of that.
All right, so how that works is, so deaths are determined by the coroner's office.
Right.
So, for example, when a body is found, if there's no determinate cause of how that person may have died, we have to get that disposition from the coroner's office. That makes the determination of where the case is assigned. So, if the coroner classifies the case as a homicide, where they were killed by, whether it was blunt force trauma, whether it was a shooting, whether they were strangled, or whatever disposition that the coroner gives to us, then that makes the determination as to where the case goes. So if it's a homicide, then the case will be assigned to the homicide division to do a follow-up investigation. If the case is unclassified, which is where this case is now, then we have to wait for the coroner to tell us what led to this person's demise or death. If it was drug overdose, natural causes, health related, and The case stays with us until we get that disposition from the coroner. Right now, her case is with us because the coroner hasn't given us any information to determine a cause of death. At this point, all they've told us is that she's had some form of narcotic in her system. But they haven't classified the case as to how she died. So until he gives us that, the case is left in limbo until we can move forward. Because we can't move without that forensic evidence.
Right, because you can assign it to a homicide detective if it's not yet classified as a homicide.
Correct.
So it's
because we never, detectives that are assigned to the district, like this third district, we work all robberies, we work shootings where a person didn't die, we investigate aggravated assaults, simple robberies, thefts, car thefts, armed robberies, and so forth. Any type of homicide goes directly to the homicide division, whether it be a drug overdose, the person was poisoned, whether they were shot, stabbed, however the demise happened by the hands of someone else, that goes to the homicide division and is sent to them. When it's given to us, we have to wait until we hear from the coroner's office. If they say, hey, look, we found out this is how it occurred, then we can talk to homicide and then say, hey, look, we have the final disposition from the coroner, and this case is given to you all to do an investigation.
Just a quick pause here to remind you that a homicide detective was on the scene when Jessica's body was found. But since then, her case has moved off the homicide investigation division's workload because of the undetermined classification from the coroner.
Does homicide usually respond to most of your death scenes because it's theirs until we decide it's not?
It depends on the scene itself.
Okay.
It depends on the scene, all right?
So it looks unnatural.
Yeah, if it's something that appears to be foul play, then they're going to show up. If it's something where, let's say, you had I'm just using this as an example.
Sure.
Let's say as an elderly person who was in a hospice environment and they had a number of medical issues and they were found unresponsive in their bed, they're not going to show up for that because most likely that may be health related. However, if it's something, if the officer gets out on the scene and you say, well, hold up, this doesn't look like there was a sign of a struggle, and this person appears to be in an unconventional position, then homicide's going to come out and make that scene because there may be more to it than what was occurred there.
So when your cause and manner of death is undetermined for the coroner's office, and it drops from homicide standards and now it's at DIU, it's with district detectives.
It's considered unclassified. So an unclassified death leaves us in limbo because we're not allowed to make any movements regarding the case because we don't have a determinate cause of death.
So no one here would be like trying to go out and find more information to fill in holes in what happened?
Because it's a forensics case. Whereas, now, the detectives have interviewed. They have interviewed Mr. Durden. He elected not to be interviewed anymore without an attorney. They've interviewed the family. They've given information to the family regarding this case. However, we're in a limbo phase until the coroner says, hey, this is how she died. This is what necessary action need to be taken.
Luster keeps using the word limbo to describe the status of this case. Typically, you'd hear a case is either open or closed, but to Luster, it sounds like Jessica's case is falling somewhere in the middle. Regardless, he's made it clear that they're waiting on the coroner to give a more definitive cause and manner of death. But if you remember, the coroner's office told us basically the same thing, that they're waiting on the NOPD for more information. So which is it?
So I will say, we spoke to the coroner's office. I mean, to be blunt, they put it on the police department. They said, our investigation's done with this. They need to come to us with more evidence to change the cause or manner.
Yeah, but we have nothing further to go with.
Right.
Yeah. You see what I'm saying? So we're kind of stuck too because we don't have any more information that we can provide unless the family can say, hey, this is what else we have.
Yeah.
And we take that information and then we bring it to the coroner and say, hey, look, is this what they found? What can you tell us?
So if you had the right tip or lead to come in.
If we had, yeah, exactly. And that's with all cases.
You're
that's
not going to ignore that. You're going to pursue
never.
It. Right.
We would always pursue it. Anytime we receive Crime Stoppers tips, anytime we see phone calls that will give us a solid lead, because we want to solve the case. We want, the New Orleans Police wants to solve the case. We want to give the family justice if there's some foul play here. We want to see these people, we want to see people who are victims of crime, you know, bring closure to whatever case that they're victims of. Or if the families have some questions, we want those questions answered. So we would never ignore that kind of stuff.
Do you find with overdoses, for instance, or when drug levels are found in the body, and you do have a period of time before the body's found, several days, a week or so, that it's hard to determine at the coroner's office or through a medical examiner if it was an overdose or not because the levels reduce?
I honestly, I couldn't answer that.
That's because a toxicology question.
Yeah, that's something that they would have to give me forensically, because we, you know, our job as an investigator is to let them tell us, listen, right. Do you believe that this person was... we've had cases where people were given drugs and OD, and we've charged the person who gave out the drugs based on the level of evidence we had and the interviews, based on the statements that were made. The person said, yeah, we were out partying, and I handed her this.
Right.
And she took it, and she died. They got charged for negligence, all right? In this case, we don't have that. We had a body reported found. We hope that the coroner would give us something to bring clarity to that case, so that way we can effectively investigate it without any obstacles in our way.
As we continue speaking with Lester, he doubles back to the idea of a potential drug overdose. He says, for example, if we knew how Jessica got the drugs, or if she willingly took them, maybe we'd have a different story here, but we don't know. All we know in Jessica's case is that she had drugs in her system, and Lester says that doesn't help as far as an investigation goes.
Until they give us clarity and say, hey, this person was killed or this person died as a result of an overdose, we're pretty much left in limbo right now.
And would you consider it a cold case? I mean,
right now, until we can get more evidence to prove otherwise, I would classify it as that now, because we can't, of course, create evidence. We have to get something solid that we can corroborate to give us, probable cause to move forward.
Do you status cases? Is that part of your job?
No. Well, my job is I supervise the supervisor.
Okay.
Who give classification to those cases.
So
this case is not considered cold, it's just still open.
It's open. Is there a period of time, if no new leads or information come in, where a case like this would be reclassified from open to closed or suspended?
It would never be closed.
So it could be open forever?
In our country, a murder is open until we solve it. Even if it happens, if we find out something 200 years from now, if we get evidence and we've had cold cases, in fact, there was a cold case that just recently got opened in another parish where they found out a guy from DNA evidence from 1998 had stabbed a lady, and they arrested him because they had the DNA evidence to prove why. But it was a 20-year-old case, but he was charged with murder. So as far as I'm concerned, and as far as our department is concerned, those cases stay open until we can solve them.
So you want tips to come in.
Yes.
From anywhere.
We want the information. Yes. Oh, yes, indeed. That's how most of our crimes, and no matter what they are, the community is a big part of it. The family is a big part of it. The acquaintances, the friends, whatever information they can provide for us, we take that information so that we can use it in trying to develop a lead.
Takes a village?
Yes, it really does. And trust me, New Orleans Police is passionate about bringing families justice and bringing cases, giving families closure in all cases.
We had hoped to find out who was investigating Jessica's case, but the disturbing answer we found was, no one is. If what the lieutenant is telling us is in fact NOPD procedure, then the NOPD is waiting on the coroner to classify it as a homicide in order to investigate it as such. But at the same time, the coroner is waiting on the NOPD to give them more evidence to change the manner of death, leaving it, just as he states, in limbo.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot?
Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching.
Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
In the law enforcement and medical world, there's an acronym that perfectly describes Jessica's case, CUPPY, which stands for Circumstances Undetermined Pending Police Investigation. So what happens when two investigative agencies in charge of the case both claim they are waiting on the other to move forward? Well, as Todd and I have learned, nothing happens, which is why Jessica's case has been in a perpetual stalemate. Jessica's case isn't officially classified as cold yet, but without tips and leads, it is growing colder by the minute. To the NOPD, it's considered unclassified. To the coroner, it's considered undetermined. But some see it as an opportunity for a second look. Dr. Kimberly Masnick, who you may remember from our analysis of Jessica's autopsy, is the director and founder of a Cold Case Investigations Institute in Florida. She tells me they work hand in hand with the detectives on each of those cases, and she was able to give us some perspective on what would need to happen in order for this case to move forward.
Undetermined, it's kind of, I want to call it a placeholder. I like that it's there because it gives us the opportunity to pull Jessica off the shelf and look at this case again, because in 40 years, who knows what's going to change in science. If that said anything other than that, that case would be closed. And then I wouldn't have the opportunity to be able to pull it off the shelf 10, 20, 30 years from now. So having watched many interviews with her sister, that sister's not going away. As long as it says undetermined, we can keep it on the shelf and we can work it. We can pull it off and dust it off and call it not cold at any point in time.
Basically, if there's one good thing about an undetermined classification, it's that it does leave the door open for the case to be worked and possibly even solved. But how do you make a change in classification happen? Dr. Masnick says, for starters, the NOPD should be working in tandem with the coroner.
If you don't ask the coroner to specifically test for something, that test does not get done because that coroner or that medical examiner is relying on you, the officer, to give them as much information as possible so that they know how to do their job to the best of their ability. This case stands out to me as one that definitely needs to be re-examined. For whatever reason, it wasn't followed through the first time by multiple agencies that should or could have done things. So it's not just a law enforcement thing. It's not just a medical examiner thing. It's a bunch of people things. So that jumps out at me as this case definitely needs to be looked at because it's potentially a very solvable case given the right circumstance.
Dr. Masnick has a good point. There is potential for Jessica's case to be solved. But at the end of the day, based on what we've heard so far from the coroner and law enforcement, more information is needed. For now, this case is a cuppy. No arrests have been made. No persons of interest or suspects have been named publicly. And although Jessica's body has been laid to rest, there's no closure, if there's even such a thing as closure for families like Jessica. And no justice. That does not sit well with Audrey or the rest of Jessica's loved ones. Again, they've recognized the stagnancy of this investigation for a while, so the fact that Jessica's case is in limbo is no surprise to them. Audrey says she's felt like this has been the norm ever since the coroner was working with the family to try and identify Jessica's body, which is why she's felt that she's needed to take things into her own hands. Like Dr. Masnick said, she's not going away. And as it turns out, she isn't going quietly either. After returning briefly to the Lakeview neighborhood to plaster signs to every pole she could find and ask anyone who knows anything to call Crime Stoppers and the NOPD, Audrey took to the loudest public platform she could find. She started sharing everything she could about her sister's case on social media. And people have taken notice. Like the lieutenant said, it's going to take a village to solve Jessica's case. And her family was about to get some new information from a couple in that village who stumbled upon something in the same spot where Jessica was discovered 7 months earlier.
We were walking the dog. We're heading toward City Park, and we were going between the railroad and that security building. I spot that ID on the ground. I picked it up, and I walk over to her, and I show it to her, and she says, "Oh, that's a woman who was killed."
Undetermined is a production of Resonate Recordings and Tenderfoot TV in conjunction with Cadence 13, written and hosted by me, Jessica Knoll, and produced by Dennis Cooper and Todd McComas, with additional production by Whitney Bozarth. Executive producers are Dennis Cooper, Mark Minery, Jacob Bozarth, Donald Albright, and Payne Lindsay. Our senior producer is John Street. Editing, mixing, mastering, and sound design by Caleb Melcher, Dayton Cole, and Pat Kicklighter of the Resonate Recordings team. If you have a podcast or are looking to start one, check us out at resonaterecordings.com. Our theme song and original score is by Dirt Poor Robbins, with additional scoring by Dayton Cole. Our cover art is by Station 16. You can follow Undetermined Podcast on Facebook and on Twitter at Undetermined Pod. Show notes as well as bonus content can be found on our website, undeterminedpod.com. If you enjoyed this episode, please take time to subscribe, rate, and review. Your feedback is greatly appreciated. And finally, if you have any information about this case, call Crime Stoppers at 1-877-903-7867.